It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. A New York Times opinion piece by actress Angelina Jolie disclosed her decision to have a double mastectomy after learning she carries a mutation of a gene that increased her risk of breast cancer. Last week, researchers at Allegheny General Hospital, in collaboration with the Mayo Clinic, published important findings regarding the disease. Here to tell us about this study is Dr. Lawrence Wickerham, director of the Division of Cancer Genetics at Allegheny General Hospital. Dr. Wickerham, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address, esspgh@wesa.fm. You can follow us on Twitter or reach us via Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. The American Cancer Society states 1 in 8 women, or 12%, 1 in 8 women will develop invasive breast cancer. Tell us about your research, Dr. Wickerham, and what this means for the prevention and treatment of breast cancer.
Well, you mentioned Angelina Jolie. There is about 230,000 invasive breast cancers that will occur in the United States this year. The inherited risk that she has represents maybe 5 to 10% of those women. The other 90 or 95% of women that develop breast cancer have risk factors, the biggest risk factor being a woman. Any woman is at risk for this disease. But we know that there are other women among those women at higher risk based on family history or other risk factors in their own individual medical history. And we've been focusing, the research group that I work for, focusing on trying to prevent the disease in those broad-based group of women. And we've been successful at it. Over the past 20 years, we've done 2 large prevention trials, entering over 33,000 healthy women at increased risk for the future development of breast cancer, and have shown that these 2 drugs can reduce that risk by over 50%. When these women entered the study, we asked them to donate a tube of blood. And we used some of that blood to identify DNA that will allow us to better identify women who could benefit from the drugs, making that 50% benefit maybe 70, 80, 90, trying to get up to 100% benefit. This is preliminary stuff, but we think it will allow us to begin to make breast cancer a truly preventable disease.
And as I understand it, many of the women who took part in this study, if not all of them, did so without knowing or being receiving any kind of guarantee that this research would directly benefit them.
Correct. These were women that volunteered for the study. They knew what they were getting into, but also recognized that it might not be of immediate benefit to them themselves. They had seen family members with this disease. They wanted to try to improve the care of breast cancer for their children and their grandchildren and for the children of women they were never going to meet. And they succeeded in doing that.
And what kind of risks were they taking?
Not huge risks. The quality of care that they received was top-notch. These studies are carefully monitored over time. But like any medicine, there were potential side effects and toxicities. We kept those to the bare minimum, I assure you. But nonetheless, they didn't know that they were going to benefit themselves, but they were willing to take those risks on.
If you've taken part in one of these studies, or if you are a breast cancer survivor and would like to share your story, we'd like to hear from you. 412-246-2002 is the number to call if you'd like to join the conversation. 412-246-2002. Also, Dr. Wickerham can probably answer many, if not all, of your questions about where the research stands, what they've learned, and where things are headed in the future as breast cancer research and treatment continues. An article on this study, Dr. Wickerham, mentioned the drugs, tamoxifen and relaxafine. Are these the leading drugs used in the treatment of breast cancer?
Tamoxifen remains the most commonly prescribed breast cancer drug in the world. It's a pill. You take it once a day for a 5 or 10 year period. Highly effective. And what we found was the women taking tamoxifen to prevent recurrence of their original breast cancer had far fewer new cancers of the opposite breast. That's why we began to use it in healthy individuals. Raloxifene, chemically very similar. The commercial name is Evista. It's been used now for almost 20 years in the United States to treat and prevent osteoporosis. Hmm. And there, too, women helping their bones had fewer breast cancers. So we have compared these two over time and find them to be both highly effective. Evista is only used in postmenopausal women, but if you've got a need to help maintain your bone strength and also have a family history of breast cancer, Evista is a pretty darn good choice to consider. You get a two-for-one benefit.
Breast cancer is the most common cancer among American women. And so due to this prevalence, is it easier to find people to volunteer for these studies because they know the good that can come from them?
The public awareness about breast cancer does make it a little bit easier. We do studies in other diseases that don't benefit from that level of public awareness. There's always some concerns about research studies. The guinea pig issues come into a factor, but the quality of care and the information we give patients makes it a very reasonable choice. Not everybody who's a candidate for a research study chooses to enter them, but they should indeed seek them out if they are in these categories.
In addition to your research, do you know of any other advances that are being made regarding breast cancer, such as less invasive surgical procedures?
Right. The research group that I work for over time has been responsible for a lot of that change. When I began medical school, the treatment of breast cancer was simple. Everybody had a true radical mastectomy, was told to go home and come back if you have any problems. Now, due to research studies headquartered here in Pittsburgh, we don't do radical mastectomies anymore. Lumpectomies are the standard of care, and we're looking at ways to potentially eliminate the need for breast surgery altogether.
And I understand that one of the more recent developments is regarding the removal of lymph nodes. And,
yes.
And in many cases, it's being done where in a way that fewer lymph nodes are removed.
Correct. In the past, we removed literally every lymph node in the patient's armpit.
And that was because?
We did it for two reasons. We wanted to remove the potential cancer that might be in those lymph nodes, and we wanted to see how many lymph nodes were involved with the cancer cells. That told us the prognosis of the patients. Now we're able to select one or two nodes, get the information we need, and avoid the side effects and toxicities of removing all those nodes.
And so now people who undergo this treatment or have lymph nodes removed, their recovery can be that much faster?
Yes. Often the lymph node surgery was more of a problem postoperatively than the breast itself. They're able to get back into normal activity far faster. The swelling of the arm that can come from removing all the lymph nodes still occurs, but it's a very rare side effect, luckily.
Our number again is 412-246-2002, 412-246-2002. Our guest, Dr. Lawrence Wickerham, Director of the Division of Cancer Genetics at Allegheny General Hospital. And we are talking about the revelation researchers at Allegheny General Hospital, in collaboration with the Mayo Clinic, have published important findings regarding this disease, some breakthrough with regard to the treatment of breast cancer. 412-246-2002 if you are a breast cancer survivor and would like to share your story with us. You can also reach us via email at esspgh@wesa.fm and via Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Dr. Wickerham, did you have a good representation of ethnic groups participating in your research?
We try very hard to make that happen. African-American women represented about 6 to 8% of the women in these prevention trials. We would like to have done better. We had a lot of outreach activities. There's a variety of issues that can make that difficult. Some of them are societal. Some of them are pure economics. I'm not sure we did a real good job of entering poor white women in this study as well. But we recognize that it can be an issue. We want women in these studies to represent women in general in the public so that the results can also be applied to the general public.
And do we see a greater incidence of breast cancer in minorities?
No, we don't actually. The incidence rate of breast cancers is actually lower in most African-American women. The problem is that their death rate from breast cancer is higher than white women. And that's for a variety of reasons. Some of them are simple economics. Their access to care may not be as good. The care that they can access may not be equivalent to that of white women. So that, too, is a factor. There is some biology. The cancers that can occur in African-American women have a higher percentage of more aggressive cancers. So that, too, can be a factor.
So if you had your choice, most people, male or female, if you have any kind of cancer at all, you'd like to have access to a place like the Mayo Clinic or a place that gives you the best treatment possible. How much closer are we with some of the revisions that we're seeing in healthcare to where there's more equal access? You know, there's an emphasis on getting everybody insured, but you would think that as people are battling diseases as serious as cancer or AIDS or whatever it may be, that it would be an imperative to get the kind of care to anybody that needs it, regardless of their economic status or their race, gender, whatever.
Right. There's a variety of issues here that hopefully with the Obamacare changes, I know there's a lot of concerns and anxieties about Obamacare, but the ability to get high-quality cancer care may actually be dramatically improved under some of these new provisions. We also have some advantages here in western Pennsylvania that your listeners should be aware of. One of the barriers is getting a mammogram. And if you don't have insurance or you're not well insured, you may not want to be spending your money, or at least think that you should be spending your money on mammograms. Luckily, here in western Pennsylvania, the Race for the Cure on Mother's Day each day raises funds that to fund a mammogram voucher program. Any woman in western Pennsylvania can get a mammogram at basically no cost. This is administered by Adagio Health. They have an 800 number that I'll be happy to give your listeners in a moment where they can call, get a voucher, and get the mammogram that they need. The toll-free number is 888-687-0505. You get the voucher in advance of your mammogram appointment, and it's a done deal.
888-687-0505. We'll have a link. We'll put a link to that information on our website at WESA.FM. Well, and when it comes to, you know, getting a woman making it a point to get a mammogram, all of these early detection devices, I would think, aside from saving lives, would also provide a benefit economically, because if you detect these things early, you're going to have that much less of a need for treatment.
That you're absolutely correct. Both the treatment costs and the ability to get back to work and back to family responsibilities more rapidly has been a real plus. But it does involve finding the cancers at a physically small size at an early stage where prognosis is better. It's not 100%. We still have, unfortunately, far too many women die from this disease, but the death rates have been coming down now for several decades.
According to the American Cancer Society website, breast cancer deaths have been declining since 1989. Do you think this is due to earlier detection or better treatment?
I think it's due to both and probably some other lifestyle issues that Americans are simply healthier and more health conscious. But we need to remain on top of that. And with the recession, people were at a higher rate of unemployment, and we saw the rates of mammograms beginning to decline in the United States. And that may be seen later in this century. As a consequence, death rates may go up again. We'll have to see. It would be an unfortunate consequence.
Contrast where we are now with where we were, say, 30, 35, 40 years ago.
Yeah, it's fascinating. My son is a freshman, just finished his freshman year in medical school, and we've been talking about some of these changes. It's not just breast cancer. When I was in medical school, childhood cancer was a fatal illness, and now childhood cancers are almost 100% curable. Hodgkin's disease, that's the cancer that Mario Lemieux had, was a fatal illness, now almost 100% curable.
And he not only survived it, but came back to resume a professional hockey career.
Absolutely. They now have a vaccine for HPV, human papillomavirus, that's being given to not only young girls, but boys. The thought is that may prevent cervical cancer in the future almost 100%. We hope that we can make greater strides in the bigger, more deadly cancers, lung, colon, and breast. But it is an indication that we're moving things along in the right direction.
Which leads me to the big question, which is, do you think that a cure for this disease, and we're talking primarily about breast cancer here, do you think a cure for this disease is within reach?
We're making incredible strides. We're no longer treating breast cancers. We're treating molecular subtypes of breast cancer. And what we're going to find is that these molecular subtype may only be 5% or 10% of a cancer each year, but we'll have treatments that can cure that subtype. And we'll march along to the point where it does become a curable disease. Prevention is an important part of that. We know over the history of medicine tells us that often the biggest advances are made through prevention, not through treatment. So we're working at both sides of the equation.
And we started this conversation by talking about Angelina Jolie. And for some, the preventative measure that she took by deciding that she was going to have the double mastectomy, do you find people asking about whether – why she didn't wait, why she did something that in the view of some might have been, radical to do it so soon?
Well, it did raise public awareness of the issue, and I think that's good, much as Betty Ford and Happy Rockefeller in the 70s raised the awareness of the disease. Now, prevention of breast cancer may benefit from these discussions. She's made choices that others may not choose to make, but the visibility of it has been an overall plus. I think it was a courageous move on her part to make it public. Forget the choices that mm-hmm. she made. She didn't have to make it apparent that she was going through this herself. She's to be congratulated for that piece.
412-246-2002. We have a couple minutes for questions. Let's go to Arlene in New Kensington. Arlene, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thank you. What I want to know is the doctor mentioned that Avista has been used for 20 years now, and it's been proven effective both to prevent osteoporosis and help with breast cancer prevention, and yet after 20 years, there's still no generic version of it available. It's very expensive. And can you tell me why we can't get it in generic form?
I'm not sure I can defend why, but there is a patent on the drug that will eventually expire and the cost will go down. Tamoxifen, the other version for prevention, has indeed been generic now for a long time and is relatively inexpensive. You're right, Avista costs a lot of money. Compared to breast cancer drugs, it's relatively inexpensive. So here, too, preventing the disease, although they're not necessarily cheap, still proves to be less expensive than treating the disease.
And as we wait for the generic forms of these drugs for people that can't afford to wait, what do they do?
Well, in Pennsylvania, they have some options. I waste $2 a week on the lottery ticket. When my $2 losings go into a fund that helps fund drug costs for senior citizens, it's a real plus in Pennsylvania. There are other options. Many of these drug companies that we think are evil actually have programs to supply these drugs free of cost to people who can't otherwise afford them.
So people that are in a dire situation don't necessarily need to have to wait to get some kind of...
They shouldn't wait. They should raise a red flag, ask their doctors and their nurses of their other options, and often there are.
Arlene, thank you for that phone call. We appreciate it. Our guest has been Dr. Lawrence Wickerham, Director of the Division of Cancer Genetics at Allegheny General Hospital. It's been a fascinating conversation. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Coming up, learn about the greatest round of golf ever played, and it happened here. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.